This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Coming up in the second half hour of our show, we'll talk with Professor Yuznier Vieira, who's nicknamed the human calculator for his world records in calendar calculations, about his unbelievable math skills and how he's using those abilities to engage young students and mathletes in South Florida about the wonders of numbers. But first, when breastfeeding is possible, medical experts tend to agree that it's the best thing to feed newborn babies. And it should be the only thing they have until they're at least 3 months old, preferably six, and the World Health Organization suggests 1 year, with breast milk supplementing other foods until 24 months. That's 2 years. And that can be challenging for a mother who's heading back to work, busily shifting between daycare and babysitters and trying to find public spaces where she won't face unfriendly side eyes when she nurses her baby on the run. The pressure for a new mom who's trying to do everything right is difficult to express in words. But when well-meaning nutrition police pull in one direction and shrew-like public decency trolls shame new moms into hiding in the opposite direction, it can get pretty unbearable. That's why the Global Latch On event started. It's a worldwide venue where moms and their children can settle into a comfortable place with other moms and babies to let down their guard and breastfeed, pump, or otherwise express breast milk. All the moms are counted at the local Latch On event space, and the results are reported back to Women's Health Action Group. And in 2016, 17,992 women participated in 28 countries at 758 locations. This year, one of those lactation locations will be at the Healthy Life Center at Coconut Point. And here to tell us more about the big latch on is Nancy Travis. She's the nursing director at Cape Coral Hospital. Thanks for being part of the program.
Thank you for having me. We'll also be having an event at the Cape Coral Hospital Wellness Center on Friday. The one at the Healthy Life Center will be Saturday. So we figured we'd have two events for Lee Health so that we'd be able to have the moms that may be working Monday through Friday job have a Saturday location to also participate.
And the global event is actually a two-day deal, too. It's on Friday and Saturday. So it's in keeping with the what they're doing on the worldwide scale too. Also here to tell us a little bit more about the benefits and how to overcome some of the challenges of breastfeeding is Rhonda Harper. She's a lactation consultant and maternal educator with Lee Health. Thank you for joining us, Rhonda.
Thank you.
We are talking about an event this weekend that's going to bring together new moms who are breastfeeding. It's called the Big Latch On. Do you have any questions or comments about the event, or do you have a question for the experts on lactation? They're here, and we're waiting for your call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. First, Nancy Travis, where did the idea for the Big Latch On come from?
Well, we were actually invited to this event several years ago that the Lee County Health Department held in their facilities. And the first year, we basically outgrew the venues, so we brought the event back into the hospital settings. We had a little bit of bigger rooms at each of our campuses, and were able to hold it at have held it the last 3 or 4 years inside the hospital. So this is a multi-year event for us. It's very fun because we've seen now some of our returning moms come back with big brother and sister, as well as the new little one that they may be nursing.
That's got to be fun to keep in contact with them.
Yes, it is. It's very, very satisfying to see the difference that we're making.
So like we mentioned at the top of the show, the weekend is going to be over 2 days. So it's going to be Friday and Saturday. Friday in Cape Coral, where do people need to go?
The Wellness Center, that's on the Cape Coral campus. And actually, when they come in, the event's going to be on the basketball court.
Oh, so you're expecting to have a lot of people.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
And we had over 50 last year, so we're expecting at least that many this year.
Well, it seems to grow year over year when you look at the global numbers, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's good news. And then on Saturday, it's going to be in Estero at the Healthy Lee space.
Healthy Life Center,
the Healthy Life Center, that's in Coconut Point.
Correct.
And in both situations, it's starting promptly at 10:30. According to the website, women are supposed to arrive, they fill out a form, and they need to be breastfeeding or expressing milk by 10:30, and then they're going to be counted for the records. The goal is to get as many women simultaneously breastfeeding as possible. Do you need volunteers to help with all that counting, or do you have that all assigned already?
We have a lot of volunteers already to that have come out and volunteered already. I'm sure that day, if someone comes and wants to volunteer, we can put them to work. We just like to have people that are supportive of moms and supportive of breastfeeding at the event.
So you said there were 50 people in Cape Coral before. How many did you have at the Coconut Point location?
I think this is the first year for Coconut Point.
Oh, it's the first year for Coconut?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So we're expecting to have even more turnout because now we have two locations, two dates. So this should be pretty exciting. So, Rhonda Harper, you're a lactation consultant and educator for Lee Health. How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it with the system for 19 years and, 31 total.
31 total. Have you seen people's attitudes towards breastfeeding change in that amount of time?
Yes.
How has it evolved?
More acceptance. We do have more entities that are taking time to become more educated, and then in turn able to educate the patients. Education is probably still the biggest deficit, though.
Mm-hmm. So was it tough to be a lactation consultant 30 years ago? I mean, was that a time when everybody was interested more in formula, or were people starting to kind of turn the corner?
Breastfeeding was on the upswing at that point.
Yeah, I know that back in the early 90s, late 80s, the medical community came out and started trying to do more education because they saw that it was needed because the breastfeeding had gone on the decline. So you've seen things come back around.
Definitely on the increase, still looking for ways to reach out to clients, moms and their families, and even providers, people that have an impact on these families' lives, and just get the better information out there. And the community resources, making sure people are aware, you know, there is help out there, there's help available, there's support.
So when somebody is in the hospital, they've just had a child, your job is to go in and talk with the new moms. Do you go in and talk to every mom?
Well, we're the consultants. Most of our staff nurses are CBCs, which is Certified Breastfeeding Counselors. So we support them. We do attempt to see every patient. But we particularly consult when there are concerns or, illness of mom, illness of the baby, medical histories that come into play.
Do you find it odd that education is a big issue when it comes to breastfeeding? Because it's one of the most natural things that has been occurring for centuries.
The education that needs to occur is to let things happen as they are supposed to happen. We have a lot of other issues that will affect breastfeeding. So to be educated about what they can anticipate, increases their chance of success.
I'm wondering if it's the pressure on doing things right and making sure you have everything planned out and plotted out that gets in the way of people just letting things happen, as you suggest, Rhonda.
Oh, I would definitely say that's part of it.
So, Nancy, as a nurse, what can you tell me about the benefits of breast milk?
Well, benefits of breastfeeding helps prevent babies from illnesses and infections that include diarrhea, ear infections, and pneumonia. Breastfed babies are less likely to develop asthma. Their children who are breastfed for at least 6 months are less likely to become obese. Breastfeeding also reduces the risk of sudden infant death syndrome. And mothers who breastfeed are also at decreased risk for breast and ovarian cancers.
And there's science backing all of those claims up, correct?
Yes. That was something that the Surgeon General back a few years ago brought us the call to action to support breastfeeding, and she mentioned all of these things in her her call to action.
So what are sometimes, though, it's not possible for a mom to breastfeed her child. What can get in the way?
Well, a lot of things can get in the way. Some were birth practices, and we're very fortunate at Lee Health that all three of our maternity hospitals are currently becoming baby-friendly hospitals. We're looking for designation, and that'll probably happen sometime later this year, early next year, for all three campuses.
What is a baby-friendly hospital?
I can't imagine a baby unfriendly hospital. I know it's hard to imagine, but some of the maternity practices that have evolved over the years got in the way of breastfeeding. And we know that starting babies off from the first bit of right after birth, those things that happen to a baby in their first 1 to 2 days of life can really impact the success of the mother breastfeeding. And those things are like putting the baby skin to skin with their mother immediately after they're born, if they're healthy and both mom and baby are healthy. It is keeping the baby with their mother, something called rooming in, where the baby stays at the mother's side at all times, and the mom gets to know her baby's feeding cues. And feeding cues are necessary and important for both any way that a baby is going to eat. We don't want formula being shoved into a baby's mouth when the baby may not need to be eating at that point. But it's very important that the mom learns those feeding cues and knows how to feed her baby. So the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative is from Baby Friendly USA. And it is a program that was presented from the World Health Organization many, many years ago. And it's just catching on in the United States, or being widely spread in the United States. But all those practices, looking at all those things and make sure that the baby is fed safely and the mother is getting correct information, as Rhonda alluded to, getting the correct information on how to feed her baby, is very important. And the hospital has to go through many steps to get the certification, including education for all of our nursing staff and our physician and advanced nurse practitioner staff have had to have education that we have all been working very hard to complete. And we've put in a lot of practices in place by getting all this information and handouts and so forth and education for the parents. You know, sometimes the grandmothers or the aunties or anybody that's around the mom did not breastfeed their own babies. So the mom gets her information, and sometimes the information passed down has not been actually correct. So we have to make sure that the mom is getting accurate information.
And it's a steep learning curve. It all comes at you pretty quick, it seems like, in those moments right after. So
that's right.
What are the medical things that might cause a mom to be unable to breastfeed?
Well, a baby that's born premature, sometimes the mother is sick, and that causes the baby to be born premature. So the reasons surrounding prematurity that happened in the mother can prevent her milk from coming in. Just baby being sick or mom being too sick to nurse is one of the main reasons. Mm-hmm. Rhonda, you can help me with this too.
And Rhonda, I wanted to ask you also, if a mother's unable to breastfeed for a while but then wants to try when she or the baby is cleared to do so, they get better, is it possible to begin delayed lactation?
It is, but with the knowledge that there are concerns about safe breastfeeding on the mom's part of the babies, we would have the mom use a hospital-grade breast pump to initiate and then to maintain a milk supply.
Yeah, it's because you kind of have to strike while the iron's hot there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get it going because, I mean, I think from what I understand, if you don't use it, you lose it, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So what you would do if somebody was sick, then you would use a hospital-grade pump to get them going so that they can, once they're cleared and once they feel better and everything's okay, they can then breastfeed.
Yes.
So the hospital initiates those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So what suggestions do you have for women who want to breastfeed but they can't seem to achieve the latch on? I mean, that's kind of a challenge. It's called, that's the part when the baby actually makes the connection, is able to feed directly. Are there alternatives when you can't seem to get the baby on there?
I think even before you're at that point, prenatal education is paramount, because we do touch on concerns, things that commonly happen that in many cases are normal, but when mom is not educated, she perceives them as something's wrong. And then, you know, that being said, to then utilize the resources that are available to you, realizing that you have inpatient support and outpatient support, and that sometimes it takes a few visits, you know, to achieve the goal.
So do you encounter many mothers who just aren't interested in breastfeeding?
Probably ranges 18 to 20, 23%.
Really, 18 to 23% are just not interested in even giving it a try.
And our goal with those moms is, again, it's always mom's choice. Once in a while, there are medical indications that preclude breastfeeding, but the main piece in all of this is not that we're shoving breastfeeding down anyone's throat. We want moms and families to have good education and accurate information, evidence-based information.
Well, what
and
reasons
we
do people
whatever
give?
Their decision is.
I mean, what kind of reasons do people give when they say they just don't want to do that? Is this kind of personal reasons or personal preference?
I think personal preference, yeah. Family history. For some of them, it's a medical history.
Nancy, what do you hear from people when they elect not to do breastfeeding?
Many of the same reasons. Just some women are going right back to work and just cannot imagine providing breast milk for their baby because they have to go back to work very quickly. We do talk to those moms and tell them all their options, that there are breast pumps now with the Affordable Care Act. Most moms can get a breast pump from their insurance carrier. And we teach them about how to collect and store milk for their baby, how to feed the baby other than from a bottle so that they can maintain their lactation, and how they can do things to make their milk supply go forward. We also have, you know, the whole my mom didn't do it, so I'm not going to do it. Again, we try to educate them with the good reasons why they should. But if, again, like Rhonda said, it's ultimately the woman's choice. So we support her decision, but making sure that she has the education to make an informed choice.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about a global latch-on event that's taking place around the world and at in Estero and also in Cape Coral this weekend on Friday and Saturday. If you have any questions for our breastfeeding experts, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Rhonda and Nancy, either one, I wanted to ask you, so what would you say to someone? How do you stack up? Here's what's in breast milk. Here's what's in formula. How do you compare these things for people? I'll throw that one to Nancy.
Well,
sorry, put you on the spot.
Yeah, you did. I have to think about that. We do have handouts that are available, so we explore with the woman why ask her why has she ever thought about breastfeeding. If she says no, we give her our whole list of things that I just gave you about the infections, about the cost, about how what kind of support she will get for breastfeeding. I can tell you that being in the delivery room, and now with our baby-friendly practices, we're putting babies skin-to-skin with their mother, and that's all babies, because skin-to-skin after delivery is so important with regulation of the baby's heart rate, their blood sugar, keeping them warm. We put the baby skin-to-skin, and sometimes the baby decides for us whether they're going to be a breast or a bottle baby, because sometimes naturally the baby will self-attach to the mother's breast while he's up there. And I've had some moms that has happened to, and they say, oh my goodness, it's not so bad. And then they've turned into great breastfeeders. So, you know, sometimes it's just trying it and getting over the hump that they kind of say, oh my goodness, this is not so bad, especially while they're in the hospital after giving birth. We can work with them and overcome a lot of the issues with our nursing staff, as well as our exceptional IBCLCs, our lactation consultants that we have that will help the moms while they're here.
And you mentioned something earlier that I wanted to circle back to. In the workplace, what are the rights for women who need to take a break to pump? A lot of women head back to work in only 6 weeks. Some take up to 3 months. But if breastfeeding is supposed to happen for 6 months to a year, how do they do that and still handle being at work for 8 hours a day?
Well, usually moms will get a break, and employers that have a certain number of employees, and I'm not sure what the number is, to tell you the truth, but do have to offer some break time for mothers to express their milk and a private area. So mothers should plan on expressing milk about the same as often as they would be for when they would be feeding a baby. So they have to have a pump or do hand expression, but the pumps are more effective at relieving or expressing the milk in a more efficient manner than hand expression to get it done quickly.
So how do you describe that to a new mom? I mean, does it hurt to use a pump like that?
No.
I think it kind of hurts.
They're not using it appropriately.
Okay.
Right.
I think that from my experience, it hurts when you don't. Because if you're, and that's called engorgement, so you do need to make sure that you get that moving along. Is it as nutritious for the baby if it's pumped and then refrigerated? Does it lose anything in translation, Nancy or Ron?
It does, but nominal. It's still preferred that the baby have breast milk.
Yes, but I mean, if you've pumped breast milk and it stays in the refrigerator, or maybe it gets frozen because you happen to have a lot, does it lose anything when it's reheated?
There are nominal changes, but not enough to preclude having mom pump in store.
Mm-hmm. And Rhonda, what kind of things do you teach at Lee Health? I mean, are there any resources for moms who want to do the pumping?
Well, we teach a prenatal breastfeeding class. And then we do private instruction as it's needed, you know, given the mom's particular circumstance.
Mm-hmm. And then that takes me to a different subject, and that is women who are able to continue lactation after their children are finished breastfeeding. Can you tell me, Rhonda, a little bit about donating breast milk?
It's not always that it's after the baby finishes. It's a mom who may have a proliferative supply of milk, who will then be screened. And we have a depot at Health Park, and there is one at Cape Coral Hospital as well that accepts donations of breast milk from moms who have been appropriately screened. That milk is then sent to the Milk Bank of Florida and processed and then used for the care and support of preemies in the NICUs or high-risk sick infants to aid in their recovery.
Well, that's so that the breast milk that goes to the breast milk bank is used for preemies and babies who need that, but it's not reused and resold for people who don't produce their own breast milk. It's not like a private market thing, is it?
No.
Okay. So a lot of times women can create unofficial breast milk swaps online and using social media. Are there any dangers for moms who get breast milk that way, or do you suggest they go only through a breast milk bank kind of thing?
A bank is obviously optimal because those milk supplies are screened.
Mm-hmm.
In social media, on Craigslist, and that sort of thing, you always run the risk of unscreened or maybe that it's not even breast milk. So,
yeah, it's kind of hard telling what you get there. So back to the event this week, and the goal is to get as many women as possible together at the same time to breastfeed all at once. Can anyone dial it in if they want to participate but be at home?
I did not see dial in on the Lactron rules, but this something that's new this year is that the mom can actually come if it's a pumping mom. So some moms choose to just pump and give breast milk to their babies that way. And so this year they are including moms that want to come and pump at the same time as the latch. So we will be accepting moms that just pump milk and feed milk to their baby in a bottle.
And so what do moms need to do to be part of it? Do they just need to show up? Do they have to register ahead of time?
No registration is required. Just come on over. We would love to have the ladies get there around 10 in the morning so that they can be settled in for the latch at 10:30. We will have some raffles. We have some vendors that will be there. We're going to have some people giving some chair massages for moms and at both locations. And we also have a dentist that's going to be coming doing free lip and tongue tie checks.
Oh, wow. That's going to be some breastfeeding swag, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
I also noticed on the their website, the global website, they have something called Selfie Sunday, and that's going to be an add-on in which women are being encouraged to share a selfie with the hashtag #MyBigLatchOn in case they do miss it so that they can participate via social media after the actual event. So there is that. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now, but I want to thank our guest, Nancy Travis, Nursing Director at Cape Coral Hospital. Thank you so much, Nancy, for joining the show.
Thank you for having us.
And I also want to thank Rhonda Harper, lactation consultant and maternal educator. Thank you so much for being part of the show, too.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. We have links to all the information that you'll need to take part in the Big Latch on this weekend online at WGCUnews.org. Just click on Gulf Coast Live. Coming up, when you think of having fun, how often do you think of math? For our next guest, math isn't just fun. It's a tool he's used to break world records for mental calculations. We'll talk with the human calendar, Professor Yuznier Vieira, about his incredible mental gymnastics and how he's used his amazing math skills to inspire students to get excited about numbers. I'm Julie Glenn, and this is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.